Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the City Confessions. Today is actually such a stressful day because it is election day. I know that you're not listening to this until the end of November, or who knows, maybe in the future, but we are recording on election day, so anxiety is at its peak. But I do have a special guest for you guys, so hopefully this episode can, you know, give you guys some inspiration and just soothe the anxiety, because I'm sure the anxiety is going to last for the remaining of 2020. Today, I have Naomi Sebu. She is a brand consultant and vintage stylist, but I don't think those titles even cover all that she does and all that she's accomplished. But hi, Naomi, how are you?
Hi, Marianne, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, we spoke a little bit off air about just, you know, the little energy in the world right now, just because we're all on our seats and on the edge, I guess you can say.
Yes, election jitters, yes.
Oh my God. It's going to be wild to listen to this in the future and just to like really understand, you know, how we felt in the moment.
Right. No, it's a very unsettling time. I think as an individual, I think as a woman, I think as a business owner, I think as someone that lives, you know, in the States. I'm currently up in Toronto, Canada, since COVID all happened, because I am Canadian. And also, I think it's like not only for the U.S. and the citizens and the people that live there and make their home and their livelihood, but it's also around the world. I go, everything is, you know, one, it's like a tripling effect. It's like one thing affects another thing affects another thing, and it does it at a global scale. So it's very uneasy, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just very, I can't believe like how things have fallen down so quickly. And I can't believe all the negativity that's come out of it. There's such an imbalance. There's such a negative vibe. It's just weird. And I think right now, a lot of people are stepping up, especially on social media, you know, trying to, you know, put their word out there and trying to be positive and trying to bring about a positive move and a positive statement going forward. And, you know, I don't know who, obviously there were going to be Trump supporters, there will be Biden supporters. And I just look at it as two things. One person comes from a place of goodness and one person comes from a place of negativity. So mm-hmm. who do you want that person to be, you know, in the end? Mm-hmm. So yeah, as we were talking earlier, it is crazy. It'll be interesting to see how today unfolds. I'm going to be joining a Zoom election, you know, viewing party, which I think will be great to bring about some community. But at the same time, it's like you're sitting there and watching this thing unfold on TV live. And it's like the people that work in the news, they don't want to really anticipate and put their foot down as to where we're going, because look what happened in 2016. Mm-hmm. Every analyst was saying, oh, for sure, Hillary's in, she's going to win. And all of a sudden, the rug got pulled out from all of us. Literally. Yeah. And I feel like in New York, as we talked about, we were all affected by it in so many ways. We were just like, it was a gloomy day the next day. No one wanted to talk to each other. Everyone was in disbelief and in shock. So I hope that doesn't happen this time around. But fingers crossed, I think we're on to a new trajectory. And I think we're on to a new wave of hope. Mm-hmm.
I really do also like that you are joining a Zoom viewing party. And that's something that clearly you have either sought out or you are, you know, RSVP'd for. So I'm alone. My roommate is in Long Island.
And oh my God, you're welcome to join the Zoom party.
No, but yes, but hold on. So I knew that I would be alone. I was like, I don't want to experience that night by myself. So it's funny because we also talked a little bit about spirituality and like astrology. Mm-hmm. So I texted one of my girlfriends who's also very spiritual. And I was like, on Tuesday, I'm going to be by myself. Like, you need to come over. And she was like, yes, I'm going to bring like sage. We're going to light candles. Yes. We're going to do this whole like.
Oh, yeah. Ritual. Oh, you have to clean the space, clean the energy, bring in positivity. So,
but it's important to surround yourself and just find a support system during this time. I think that's the key.
1,000%. And it's funny because we all went into this whole new year, 2020, blind. We had no idea what was going on. We heard of this word called COVID. We heard about this and we're like, what is this? And I kept saying to myself, the world is so big. Is it possible that this can spread? And look what happened. And I feel like this whole year has been about refocus and being about community. You know,
100%.
In many ways, it being, you know, with your family and your friends and connecting in a different way that you never have before, you know, your network of you know, your professional life, your network of your personal life, and even within yourself as your own community, like bringing about some change, you know, and pivoting and recreating and understanding what it is that you're going through.
Yeah, and speaking of communities, I just want to give a shout out to Philly because that's how you and I connected.
Oh my God, amazing, amazing group of women. Jacqueline and Summer are incredible women, strong, fierce, driven, successful, like-minded, kind and giving, and they have just been amazing. And we happened to meet on one of our group calls, our group Zooms, and we immediately connected. You private messaged me, and then that's how we all started, you know, speaking and conversing with one another. So it's amazing what those can do, and like the universe brings about people that's meant to be at that time, and it's all about timing.
Yes, that's why I'm so excited to speak with you. I know that we spent the 5 minutes just, you know, obviously acknowledging the state of the world right now, because that is very important. But now that we've spoke about it, I don't want to dwell too much on it because there's only so much that we can do and there's only so much that we can control.
Agree.
So let's start off by having you introduce yourself to the audience. Who is Naomi?
Ooh, oh my God. Okay. Well, let's see. Well, I'm Canadian. I grew up in Canada. I went to school here. I have a very large family, and I feel like I had a really good upbringing. It helped me come into my own, being my own person and knowing what it is that I want. I feel like at times I'm the black sheep of the family because I come from a culture, a South Asian culture, where it's like they always want to put you in a box, you know, of, you know, you're a circle, you fit in a circle, you're a square, you fit in a square. I never wanted to be told what shape I was, if that makes sense. I wanted to create my own shape, and I felt like I was unique and I didn't want to do it other people's ways. And I was always pushing the norm. I was always pushing the boundaries, you know, especially with my parents. And I love them to death, and they've been amazing, super supportive throughout my whole entire life and career. But I've always pushed myself. And that being said, I am in the world of fashion industry, to say broad stroke, but it specializes in all different categories. I've literally dressed the entire family, you know, from mother to women, men, young men's, women's, kids, you name it. I've done everything. I've worked from, you know, small scale startup companies, medium sized companies to large companies. And what I've been blessed with is I've been able to wear many hats in any company that I've been in. And I guess it's because I balance it creatively and business wise that I'm able to use my left and right side of my brain. So for me, I kind of like top it off with five words. You know, I specialize in, my strengths are in design, innovation, e-commerce, and product development, and with a side of expertise in sourcing and operations. And with that being said, it gives me the ability to go in and work with any kind of brand that there is. If someone needs me to come in to start up a new brand, I'm able to do that. If someone needs me to come in to elevate the brand and take it to the next level and exceed their sales, exceed their exposure and their brand awareness, I'm able to do that. Or if it's taking a brand that's, you know, been, you know, on a lull or has been, you know, low in sales or has not been active as much as they want to be, I can then go ahead and rebrand it. So it's all about taking the know-how of like that recipe and applying it to each aspect, you know, to whoever it is that I'm working with. And it depends on what market it is. You know, if it's the mass market, which is like, you know, a Kohl's, a Target, If it's a Macy's, if it's a Saks, of Bloomingdale's, or if it's, you know, boutiques, you know, like Intermix, or Kitson. So for me, I'm able to be very flexible and very entrepreneurial with everything that I do.
First of all, that like pitch slash summary is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds like you know exactly who you are. You stand your ground and you're confident in that as well. Because I feel like sometimes people, you know, belittle themselves or like don't give themselves enough credit for what they do. And like, again, we spoke about this in the workshop, but like knowing your worth. And I love that you know your worth and you are not ashamed of it. And you are super clear and direct and articulate about that. And that's very admirable.
Oh my God. Thank you. But it's, listen, it's taken me a long time to get to that point of saying it and mm-hmm. saying it in a loud and in a very confident way. You know, I've been in the industry for over 20 years. You know, you have your moments of your ups and downs, your highs and lows, but there's a lot of lessons that have been learned throughout your path and throughout your journey. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to me where I am today. And I'm super grateful for that.
What is your first memory of, you know, finding that joy for fashion? Like, do you remember exactly when that moment
was?
Oh
my God. Yes, 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 I do. And I wish we had Instagram back then so I could, like, you know, you know, save it, record it and all that stuff. But it's funny because when I was growing up, it's that I always liked to challenge myself. So I was very much heavy into sports. Sports was a part of me all year round. It was a competitive side of me. It was always to be a perfectionist, to do great in everything that I do. I was a big runner. And I think that applied my worth ethic to what I was doing going forward. When it came to what I wanted to do in my career, I remember in high school, of course, everyone has their guidance counselors. They're giving them the books. You have like all of these, you know, talks and people coming in. And it was like, you're sitting there and you're like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? You know, I'm only like, how old am I? You know, and I have to make this decision. I'm like, oh my God. And because I was in the sports, I kept saying to myself, okay, I think I might want to go into sports medicine. Because I was super successful at my sporting career aspect of it. And I thought, okay, sports medicine, I love science. I love biology. I love sports. That's a great combination. It's a passion of mine. Why not apply it there? And it's so funny, as I sat and it was the weekend, Monday, it was due my application for, you know, applying to universities here in Toronto, Canada. I had all of these books all spread out through my bed and I kept looking at it and I just was staring at it blankly. And I was like, I can't even wrap my head around this. How am I supposed to decide what I'm doing? And I just kept flipping and flipping and flipping. And then all of a sudden I threw a book down on the bed. It opened up to this place called Ryerson Polytechnic University, which is now university. And it fell on a page of fashion. And I looked at that and I was like, fashion, you know, a BA, you know, in the arts and double major and this and that. And I said, huh, maybe I could do fashion. And the funny thing is underneath that book, Marianne, were sketches that I had done ages ago of pencil crayons and very 80s looking, you know, the poofy skirts with the raw edges and the big curly hair and the big bows and the colors and, you know, everything like that. And I just pulled these sketches out from underneath all the books. And I looked at it and said, oh my God, this is it. This is what I want to do. So that was my monumental pivoting moment. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go.
But how lucky are you or were you to even find your calling at such a young age? Because that is something that I personally have struggled with forever. Like, I'm very much like business minded, I guess you can say. Right. And I've always wanted to be like an entrepreneur. And yes, I am in my own right, but I wanted to do something more than Instagram. And as you know, like recently I started a business opportunity, which I don't want to get more.
Which
I don't
is talk amazing, about by the way.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about that.
You're killing it. Okay. Let me just say your Instagram is amazing. It's great energy, a great vibe about it. And with your podcast, you know, arm and with this new thing that you're working on, it's like, girl, you're doing just
you're
fine.
You're so sweet. But I want to let you know too that it was a struggle for me. Like, I remember just having conversations with myself every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever the case is, because I love to, you know, analyze and say like, what are my goals?
Right.
And there was always a time when I felt such a void, like professionally. Mm-hmm. And I've always was like on the search for this business opportunity, business idea. Like, I love the Shark Tank, but I realized I had to let go of that pressure because as you know, as much effort and energy I was putting into almost forcing it to happen, mm-hmm. once I allowed it to happen, it fell on my yep. lap. So
you had to let it happen mm-hmm. organically. And I think that's the thing that with women, and again, I may, it's just my thoughts. And again, it may not be applying to, you know, to everyone. But once you put too much pressure on something and you try to manipulate it and change it and make it work for you, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. The immediate moment that you release it, you surrender, you let it go and let things happen organically, the momentum you get, it's like, oh my God, duh, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I just let it be and let it come to me?
Mm-hmm. And I love that you said that because, again, this relates to like the whole like spirituality and like trusting mm-hmm. the universe, trusting yep. the process. All my friends know that I'm like a broken record. That is something that I preach. And I think that's why we also connected, because yes. I feel like once you have that mindset, it's inevitable for you to also like put that energy out. And then again, you get that back.
You know what? It totally, totally agree. And again, I want to say this. I wish I knew what I know now. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew that then, because mm-hmm. it's been a process for me as well. And as you expressed, it's like you have those moments of doubt. You have those moments of where you want to be and you want to get there quickly. But the thing is trying to get to that, you know, and it's been challenging at times, you know, just because I knew I wanted to do and be in fashion. I didn't know how, what, where, and when. I didn't know any of that stuff. Guess what? I took my application downstairs. I ran to my mom in the kitchen who was cooking. And I said, Mom, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I was so happy, right? And it was so like filled with joy and happiness. And she said to me, oh my God. Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, you could do really well at that. So guess what? She was championing and being my cheerleader. And guess what? I then tell my dad, and you know what my dad said to me? Because of the culture, mm-hmm. what the hell is fashion? What is that? You know, how are you supposed to support yourself? I want you to be independent. I want you not to depend on anyone. What is fashion? He goes, he's like, you know, basically screw fashion. You know, what is that? Go do a trade, you know, come take over my business, do this, mm-hmm. do this, do that. And all of a sudden I felt like, wow, there's a roadblock. Wow. How am I supposed to express this to him? But guess what? I did not let that stop me. I just kept my head down. I applied. I got in there. And before deciding what university I wanted to go to, guess what? Because I know in the fashion industry, Parsons and FIT were like the creme de la creme schools to go to. And, you know, having that on your resume or people knowing that you graduated from there, that was a big deal, right? So I went to New York and I went to go to those schools. I did an orientation. I went to feel it out to see if I like it. How do I feel about it? And guess what? I went orientations of those schools. I went to the orientation one at the best school in Toronto for fashion. And guess what? The Toronto school spoke to me. Toronto school gave me a great energy and a great vibe about it. But guess what? It was a lot of damn work for me to do this. It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of long hours. And slowly but surely, my dad came around and saw that I was being successful at what I was doing at school and saw the accolades I was getting and saw the awareness that was being brought to me and saw the achievements that I was doing with projects and presentations. So mm-hmm. he then was very much in my corner. And then how my life then changed was, you know, again, a special pivotal moment that happened. And then that took my career to where I came to New York.
Amazing. And then I was going to ask you, like, what is your relationship with New York? Because if you want to do fashion, I mean, you have to come to New York.
Oh my God, New York. Well, the funny thing is, guess what? You know how you had that plan of how you wanted to do your business and run it? Mm-hmm. My plan was after I did my double degree at Ryerson. And the funny thing is I had to do internships. So I did a number of internships in Toronto. And guess what? I wanted to go into the bridal and evening wear industry. And I did a number of internships. And guess what? I hated it.
And I was like, that's the beauty, right? When you're starting out, it's like knowing what you don't like is just as important as knowing what you do like. And I think a lot of young folks don't mm-hmm. get that because they become frustrated. And while I can relate, and I've definitely have been in that position as well, it's like, actually, this is research for yourself, you know? And it's like, you know what? Same thing with any relationship and anything in life.
Totally. And the funny thing is I didn't take it like that at first, of course, right? Mm-hmm. As a young person. And I was like, I need to get credits for school. I have to do these internships. Okay, fine. I went to the best places in Toronto. And let me tell you, for 8 hours a day, I was putting pearls on lace. you know, on veils, mm-hmm. on gowns. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. This is not me. This is driving me crazy. So then I then said to my professor, I said, hey, what are your connections in Europe? You kept saying that you had connections at these designer houses. I want to go there to do an internship. And she's then it fell through, you know, all talk and no action happened. Mm-hmm. So then I took it in my hands and then I contacted New York. I had a list. I had this amazing like creme de la creme magazine, like, I don't know, like one of those official magazines. Mm-hmm. And it listed all the top 20 New York designers. So Marianne, I looked at it. I said, okay, here's my top 10 list. Let me start from the top and let me work my way to the bottom. And the top one, I think at the time was like Calvin Klein and Donna Karen and Marc Jacobs. Todd Oldham, Vivian Tam, you know, the last person on that list was Anna Sui for me. And guess what? I called each one of those numbers. And at that time, well, there was no emails. I called, I spoke to someone. They were either rude. They either said they're not hiring. They either said they're already full. They said that you need to send an application in. It was like all of these roadblocks. All of a sudden I call Anna, my 10th call saying, okay, this is the last person I'm calling. This person named Thomas Miller answered. He said to me, yeah, we accept interns whenever, however, whenever you want to come, just come. I'm like, excuse me. He's like, yeah, just come whenever, just show up. And I'm like, but I'm coming from Toronto, Canada. I need to know I have this. I need to know my professor that I have this. I need something in writing. So it was kind of like, they were so like laid back about it. And I was like, okay, great. So guess what? I went and did an internship there. And I, within 2 weeks, I was offered a job by Anna.
Wow. And wait, that's crazy.
It's crazy. But I went there not knowing what was going to happen. I stayed at a family's house and they were in Queens and I commuted every day on the subway. I went there and I was, you know, there, they offered me the job in the production department. And I said, listen, I have to turn this down. Thank you so much for even considering me and offering me this. I'm so grateful, but I have to graduate. My parents are going to kill me with all the money they spent and I need my degree. And can we have this conversation at a later date? She said, oh yeah, sure. And again, oh yeah, sure means nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So I did my internship and I said to her that, you know, let me finish school, but may I come back and work on shows with you? You know, she goes, yeah, by all means. And she's not paying me. And I'm doing it because I want to learn and I want to understand. But let me tell you, my first runway show, it was like, it was a pinch me moment. It was backstage with Naomi Campbell, Linda Evangelista, Carolyn Murphy, all the major supermodels that or that time, you know, celebrities coming in and out, Anna Wintour, you know, everyone's there. And I'm like, my head is spinning and I'm working with these women. And Naomi Campbell was super nice with me. And I just treated them like a normal person. And she's like, I'd be like, oh, hi, Naomi. She's like, oh, hi, Naomi. And I'm like, she knows my name is her name. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that was my amazing aha moment. And then right then and there, I had said to Anna, okay, I graduated. Here's my resume. Here's my portfolio. I would like to apply for your company now. And she did a, you know, an impromptu interview, which was super sweet of her to do that. So grateful. And she said, let me think about it. So guess what? I went back to Toronto, Canada. And then my plan was, Marianne, never to go to New York. My plan was to go to Italy. I'd never been to Europe, never nothing. But my calling was to go to Italy to work at one of the design houses there, like Valentino or Versace or something like that. Get a villa and live happily ever after. That was my goal that I was doing, that I was working towards. I was looking into tickets. I told my mom, I'm packing up my stuff. I'm going to Europe. I may not be back anytime soon. It was a plan. I was going to go ahead and do it. And then lo and behold, I got a call from Anna that changed everything. She says, I'm creating a position in my design department. How quickly can you get here? And that's how my life changed.
This is why I do this podcast, because I honestly feel like, you know, one of the requirements of the guests, a rule that I have set is that they have to have a relationship with New York, whether they are a current resident, whether they run a business, something in their careers, they have right. to owe it to New York. And I think it's always just so inspiring to hear people who are like go-getters. Like, I don't even know where that stemmed from. Like, with you just being like, okay, you know what? I'm going to cold call people. I don't care. And it's like that attitude is what separates people from like being average and being actually like go-getters, the doers, I always say, you know? And
the funny thing is, I love Toronto. Toronto's where my parents are from. And mm-hmm. that was always my home. But I felt like it wasn't connecting with me. And it wasn't pulling me to where I needed to go. It wasn't the attraction and the click that I needed to have. And I said, okay, I have nothing to lose. Let me reach out to New York. And as a child, I've gone to New York many times. I have a love affair with New York. It's like my longtime boyfriend. It is an ongoing relationship, an ongoing love affair. Like New York is part of me. And New York is in my DNA. Like New York is in my bloodstream. It's just, it's part of me, period.
I love hearing that because obviously I'm super biased, but I think it's the greatest city in the world.
You know what? But I have to tell you, it is amazing. And it's like from the traveling that I've done throughout my career that I've been so blessed about, there's no place like New York. I love LA. I love Paris. I love Rome. I love many cities, but there's no place like New York.
I agree. I know that you have done so much in your career and like, you know, not to even name drop, but you have worked with the top celebrities and just these like amazing people. But throughout it all, what moment did you feel the most challenged? Like what was the moment when you were going to give up?
Like, Oh my God. Okay. I kind of feel like that mountain happened in 2015. And it was, I got a cold call from someone that heard of me and they had my resume and I don't know how they got it. And they said, can you come in and meet with us? And I said, great. Can you tell me what it's about? Because again, I'm getting called from someone in New York. And you know how we are in New York. We're very skeptical about,
oh my God, 100%.
About who, what, where, and why. Like, how do you know me and where am I going? And who is this? Is this legit? You know? So I said, okay, sure, I can come in. And they were being very, what's the word? Very
vague.
Vague, extremely vague about what it was. And they said, because of my experience, they think I would be a great fit. And I'm like, well, hi, great, wonderful. Thank you for all the great, you know, compliments. But I need to know, who is this person? Who is this person you want me to create a brand for, a brand new brand for? It's one of your clients, great, but I need to know. So they finally broke down and they told me it was for Serena Williams. So I was God. I sat back in my chair and I was like, oh, crap, holy, you know. And I
but like who reached out? Was it like an assistant or like a
yeah, who reached out? No, it was an HR person for this company.
Okay. Got it.
And they, long story short, Serena was already doing something with them and she had a clothing line with HSN and they wanted me to come on board to create a brand for her, a fashion brand for her for another area of the market.
Got
and
it.
That, and you know, Tommy Hilfiger was involved in it as well, and all that stuff. So I found that doubt, like as you know, as we progressed with meetings. But it was for Serena, and the funny thing is, that was a amazing moment in my life. But that wasn't the big wow moment that you're talking about. My big wow moment came in 2017, again with Serena, and I was working with her since 2015 on other things. But in 2017, she wanted to start her brand new line, her brand new own baby fashion, her fashion line under her own umbrella, under her, everything was hers. It was hers. And she was going to be my boss. She wanted me to come on board and create a brand for her
from scratch.
Listen to her ideas, put together the concepts, put together the direction. She wanted me to come on board and take the idea and bring it to fruition. And, you know, we spoke about this and I was like, I then finally we agreed, you know, after talking back and forth and, you know, negotiating and all that kind of stuff. And I finally said, okay. And then when I signed that page document, I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? What did I commit myself to? And I was like, oh my God, I can't fail. This is for Serena. This is global level attention. This is the big Mac Daddy of Mac Daddies. And, you know, and I just said to myself, Naomi, this has brought you to where you are now, this moment in time. And from everything you've learned throughout your entire career, you're going to be applying it to this one thing. So that was my big, scary mountain moment. And I then had many sleepless nights and a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty. Am I doing the right thing? And slowly but surely, I just had to be like, Naomi, focus one thing at a time. Make your list that I'm a list maker. Okay. Make a list and just check them off as you're going. And that's what I did.
Right. So on the flip side, I was going to ask you, like, when have you felt the most proud? Do you think it was also during that time?
Yes, it was also, it was the scariest time. And it was also the most proud time of my career thus far. You know, creating it, launching it, creating that baby, knowing that I was able to bring Serena's hopes and dreams to life and knowing that when people said no to her throughout her life, that I was able to say yes and give it to her.
And what is the one thing that you like learned about yourself that time, during that time?
Wow. That I've learned. You know what? I knew when I did Serena that something inside me said, Naomi, this is a stepping stone. And it was for her e-com site, for her e-commerce brand. And e-commerce has been a big thing that's going on, and it's building even more momentum now during COVID. And I knew to myself, this was a stepping stone. I said, take this, learn from it, understand it, make the mistakes, fix the mistakes, make it better, and learn from this in order to take you to the next page in your career. And that has been a big lesson to me that I've learned so much from. You know, the thing is that I wanted to make sure, A, I had Serena's mind, thought, and wishes in mind throughout everything and throughout the process. I was being, what's the word, handholding it through the whole way and being very communicative with her about everything. I wanted to make sure she understood everything. I wanted to make sure that she's aware of everything, and she was entrenched in it. You know, this, she was eating, breathing, and sleeping herself. So wherever she was in the world, she would be reaching out to me, text messaging me, calling me, emailing me, you know. So always being able to accommodate her, but also at the same time, even though saying you want X, Y, and Z, I needed to make sure on the other side that I am doing it, doing her right, that I'm doing the right thing. Serena, this is what you want. You know, I totally agree. This is what we could support and do it with. If you want this, maybe we could change it in this direction and make it better for this audience. So it was always a balancing act, you know, trying to do everything that she wanted, but doing it in the right way to make it effective and powerful.
Right. And I think that's why she even brought you on, because I think sometimes when, we get opportunities and we're working for these big names, it's really easy to somewhat just be like a people pleaser and do whatever they
Exactly.
ask you
Yeah.
without in a professional manner and offer your thoughts. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing, but like nobody really does. And we all need help and we
Of
all need a
course.
fresh perspective, which is I
Right.
think what you brought to the table. And I could only imagine how difficult that is, because part of you're like, oh my God, I don't want to piss her off, or like I don't want to step on her toes. But at the
Oh,
end of
all of the
the
above.
day,
All of the above. Because I kept saying to myself, and I said to her too, honestly, as we had built our relationship from 2015 till, you know, the 2017, I said to her, go, listen, I'm always going to have your back. I'm always going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be black and white with you. I said, if there's something that you like and you want to do, I will see what I can do to make that happen. But if I feel, due to my market research or, you know, product research or the intel that I'm getting from the industry, that it may not fit well, I will present that to you and present options for you to then decide how you'd like to go. And yes, that particular world is all about your use. Many people surround themselves with yes people. You know, many people are around there for their own reasons, not to help you and elevate you. And for me, I've always come from a place of kindness, and I've always started out with kindness, and I'm always going to be doing what is for the greater good. That is what I stand for, and that's always been entrenched in me as a person.
Oh, so good. Love hearing that. So let's transition the direction of this conversation just a little bit, and I want to bring it back again to the current day, the present right now. And I know we spoke about the election, but what is keeping you up at night? And of course, if we need to talk about the election again, we totally can. But in other news, whether it's professional or personal, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, like what is stressing you out? Because I think a lot of times we like to pretend that everything is good, that we got it all covered. I mean, we've got it all under control, and that's just not the reality of it. And the theme that I've noticed in all my episodes is that we're all in the same boat. We're all struggling. So why not normalize that? Why not talk about it? Because at the end of the day, we all want to be able to say, like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I can relate to that. Naomi sounds like a badass woman. She's done so much, but you know what? She also has real life struggles, which is why I always summarize my podcast as like real people living in New York. We're not these like, what you see on television. and real struggles and real stories. So what is stressing you out right now?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. My God.
I know. Sorry.
It's like you said it. My gut was like, oh boy, how much time do we have? No, listen, you know, I'll be very honest. It's like, yes, you know, throughout my career, it's like you always have to wear a mask, you know, quote unquote, right? And, you know, always show that things are great, things are good, there's a momentum and all that stuff. But seriously, with 2020, it's put a lot of things in perspective. You know, I've lived and worked in New York City for more than 20 years. I've been blessed with so many great, amazing opportunities, which I'm so grateful for. And it's brought me to where I am today. So with COVID happening, I had to, you know, come back to Canada. I had to come back to Toronto. Mm-hmm. I had to put a pause on life in order, you know, to come back here for safety reasons, because I am Canadian, mm-hmm. right? And there is an uncertainty that's going on in the States right now that's very unsettling, and it's extremely stressful. You know, for someone that's not, you know, I'm calling myself like someone that's looking from the outside in. And, you know, that was a big, huge learning curve that I had to deal with, because it's like, holy crap, I've got to put my life on hold right now. I've got to come back to Toronto, Canada. I'm with my parents right now. And I'm sure many of, you know, your listeners, you know, and, you know, and community are all in the same boat. It's like, there's this uncertainty that's which is something that we're affected by it, but we can't make any change to it. We just have to adapt to it. So I had to learn seriously how to adapt, how to pivot, how to recreate myself, how to feel grounded, because New York was where my roots are. You know, New York is where I've been planted. And now I had to uproot myself and come somewhere else. So it took me a number of months during COVID to feel settled, to feel grounded. And that was one big thing that kept me up in nighttime. It's like, am I doing the right thing right now? Should I have stayed in New York, or do I, or not? So that was a big thing that was shifting me a lot. And during 2020, and especially with, you know, the whole social media thing, I think what has come is that a truth and honesty of us all being real. There's been a lot of lives that have happened, a lot of real conversations that have happened, and a lot of tremendous, amazing networking that's been happening in all levels. And everyone has been very honest, and it's been able to bring your barrier down and saying, yes, I am too feeling that. That too is making me stressed. That too is making me stay up at night. And, you know, with me right now, with working on my consulting business, you know, it has been tough. It has been challenging. A lot of projects that I was getting, you know, wanting to be participating in and wanting me to be involved in, a lot of them have been put on hold right now because of what's happening in the world, because of what's happening in the industry. They too are trying to figure out their own self, their own business, and then how to go forward from that with people that they're working with. So right now I am working on my consulting business. I am working on this amazing passion project that I'm super excited about. And I'm taking that time to give it the energy that it needs to nurture it and to make it happen. So as you, I'm letting things sit. I'm letting things simmer. I'm letting things develop as it needs to over the time that it needs to be given. And I'm allowing it to happen. I'm not restricting it, and I'm letting it happen organically. So a lot of organic growth has been happening because I am up in Toronto, Canada right now. So that has been the silver lining in all of that uncertainty that's come out of it.
Yeah, you also seem like a planner. Like, are you normally someone who likes to schedule everything? Yeah.
I'm a Libra. So there's all about balancing. So yes.
I get along with you because you're an air sign. I'm an Aquarius. No, what I was gonna say was that, like, I'm a planner, like, through and through, and what this pandemic and year has taught me is definitely like what you were saying, and kind of just go with the flow and slow down. And that's something that was so difficult for me, because first of all, not really being able to leave the apartment, you know, in the beginning,
right. Yeah,
the government telling us that you can't do that. And then, so that in itself was a huge thing, because I'm such a mover. Like, New Yorkers don't stay in.
Nope, they don't. They like to be out.
Yeah. So it was weird. And then, you know, my work was affected as well. So then there were times when I was questioning, like, wait, what am I supposed to do right now? And everybody's like, you know, just take it easy. You could just Netflix and chill. And I was like, I don't know how to Netflix and chill. Like, I needed to learn that. And Yeah, it's good to have goals and vision for the future, but I feel like you honestly just got to take it day by day because much can change. Like literally from the moment that we're recording it now, it's like when this airs, I don't even know what the world will look like in 3 weeks.
Oh, exactly. We don't even know. It's like I keep saying to myself, you know, during this time, I've really realized something. And, you know, throughout, you know, my career personally and professionally, is that I got to a point in my life where it's like, you know, you're going in New York, you're going nonstop, right? You're feeding off that energy. You're like a mouse in a wheel, constantly going. And I had to slow down because I couldn't shut my brain off. And I remember coming across something, I don't know who, what was telling me about this, you know, about meditating. And I got really, you know, interested in it. I really started putting and applying to, you know, Deepak Chopra was doing his, I think, 21-day free meditation, you know, community. And I started partaking in that. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. This is exactly what I needed. And then things started slowly happening. And I then definitely made sure that everyday meditation was part of my start of my day to start me and keep me calm and grounded. And I felt like that really changed me. And then, of course, you know, I love crystals. I have crystals on my desks. I have crystals in my bed. I have crystals. And it's funny. I didn't realize that someone said to me, Naomi, you know, Yves Saint Laurent loved crystals on his desk too. That's where he pulled his energy from. That's where his creativity came from. That was what kept him grounded. And I said, are you kidding me? So I found images of that. I'm like, oh my God, love him. And I love that he did this so long ago. Yeah. But meditating has been a huge part for me, especially. But now with COVID, something came in my head like an aha moment where it was like, oh my God, I need to be focused on being present. I don't need to look behind me of what's been happening, what has happened. I don't need to worry what's going on in the future because it's not there yet. I need to focus on what's being present and be enjoying each second, minute, and hour of every day. You know, be aware of the signs that are coming in and out of my life, being aware of things that are happening organically and what's presenting itself and being open. So I have really this past year been doing that, and I cannot tell you how much that has changed my mindset.
I'm on the same boat as you. I read somewhere the other day that said like a quote along the lines of how we, just as humans and people, we're constantly reminiscing on the past. You know, we're always like thinking about what we should have done or like, oh my God, I missed this. And then the other half of us is like, oh, I want to do this in the future. We're always planning. But like, we are never living in the present. Like, we don't say like, oh, look at that, I don't know, that flower right there, like that butterfly. We don't talk about what's in front of us. And I was like, oh, and I was definitely guilty of that as well. So I agree with you 100%. I'm also curious now to, you know, get to the main point of the podcast, which is the confession component, because New Yorkers, I consider you a New Yorker too, you know?
Oh, like, no, I am. Yeah. Global citizen, New Yorker, whatever you want to name it. Yes, I am.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of us, like just going back to what we talked about before, that we're constantly, there's so many people in the world, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I think we're always on the go, but it's like, there is a theme with all of us. Like, there's a reason why we are living in New York. There's a reason why we feel compelled and drawn to the city. And to be quite honest, not everybody's made for the city. Like, and you will know, like, right away, like, the city is not for me or the city is totally for me. So with that being said, I think it's fun to also talk about, like, confessions that we have as New Yorkers. So if you can reveal a confession, whatever that may be, personal, professional, deep, silly, whatever you're comfortable sharing, what would that be?
Well, okay, confessions. Okay, confession this then. Here's my confession. So being in New York for so long, you become tough, right? You build an outer exterior of what you want people to see who you are. And I, as a person, and I guess it's because, you know, of, you know, relationships you've gone through, you know, friendships and all that stuff, is that you build a heavy wall around you. It's like a protector barrier. And it takes quite some time for me to have a trust in someone to let that barrier down. And I feel like I've been making more of a conscious effort to put myself out there more, to be a little bit more raw with people, to be a little bit more open, And I think COVID has really helped me with that aspect of it because, hey, I'm not physically seeing anyone anymore. You know, it's all virtual, it's all FaceTiming, it's all phone calls, it's all text messages. And that's the way that I'm connecting with people right now. So it's, you even have to be even more open and more expressive to your thoughts, your feelings, your fears, you know. And for me, a confession is speaking of my fears, you know, what they are at what given time. That's been a huge thing that I never ever really talk about. But now more, I have been able to be more open, and I take fear as equaling love. I, you know, face the fear now. It's something that my gut saying to me, don't do it. You know, you've never done this before. But then it's like, no, embrace it, understand it, and fill it with love and move forward with it. So a lot of people don't know that of me. They just know that I'm a go-getter. They just know that I get the job done. They just know when Naomi's in her mood, she'll just take it, accelerator, and move with it. And I have a very tight-knit, close circle of friends that I trust my life with. And I feel like now it's me being more open and branching out and networking more to build a bigger community of amazing, incredible people like yourself.
We were talking about being present earlier on, and I want to take a moment now to just thank you for showing up and to be present. Like personally, right before we recorded, I not only due to the election, but I was going through some like personal issues or emotional
I
anxiety,
know.
and I knew that I had to switch that off because I wanted to be present for you, and I was really looking forward to this recording, and it has been so amazing. And I just want to really thank you because this is a rough time for all of us, you know, and we could have easily postponed this to God knows when. And the fact that you were allowing me access to your time, your energy, and your aura is a huge deal, and I don't take that for lightly or granted at all.
Oh
So
my
just like
God.
right now, I want to just like send my appreciation to you.
Oh my God. I'm smiling from ear to ear and you're making me teary-eyed right now. It's like, I thank you so much. And it's so funny because when you did say, like, I would love for you to be part of, you know, join me on a podcast, I was like, oh, what? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like,
Was
oh my
funny
God. I'm like,
because
what are we going to talk about? Who or what? I'm like, what am I going to tell? Like, how am I going to, like, take those layers of the onion off and be open and be honest. But I have to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much because you made it easy. Your voice is so welcoming and it just made the
Thank
energy of our conversation again, like we're having cocktails. You know, I wish
Right.
we were in New York City ASAP,
We
but
will for sure.
it's just been incredible and it's just like it's brought up a lot of memories. It's stirred up a lot of things of like accomplishments that I've forgotten about. Which I'm happy that you've helped me reconnect with those memories because it makes me feel good about where I'm going and what I'm doing next.
Oh, I know. I love it too. I also want you to talk a little bit about your vintage business. Can we reveal
Oh,
a little bit about
yes.
that?
Yes, we
Okay.
can. Because I know this is being recorded now, but you won't do till later.
Yeah,
And I
it's
guess this
coming
will be
the end
a
of the month.
driver for me for me to get this going.
Yeah.
So what I love vintage and I love fashion. And a confession, here's another confession. I love to shop. Okay, so that's the thing with me. I get so excited. It's just like an adrenaline rush. You just name it. It's just exciting. So I have collected vintage for ever since I was in like university, like way early, way long ago. And it's something that is a passion of mine, something that I love. I never thought I would collect so much of it. It's part of my daily life. If I'm wearing vintage and antique jewelry pieces, estate pieces, if I'm wearing a vintage blouse or a vintage sweater or a vintage coat, it's always mixing in with something that I've bought recently. And what I want to do is that the fashion industry is a huge carbon footprint of waste, you know, of product and of excessiveness. And I want to do my part going forward of what I can better in our community. You know, and hopefully it makes an effect and it brings about a positive change. And I want to do that. So what I'm doing right now is I'm feverishly working on launching my vintage e-com website. I want to create a community and a platform to bring people together. It's going to be inclusive. It's about for everyone. If it's whoever it is, a man, a boy, a girl, a woman, a major collector, someone that's discovering vintage for the first time, it's all about reliving pieces and rediscovering history, and being able to bring it and make it unique into your own life and bringing it part of your look and being part of your personal style. So that's something that I'm working on launching, and I'm hoping to do that within this month to get it going and get it out there.
It's so exciting. And I told you off air that I really love vintage. But for those who may have not started their vintage exploration, what are some tips that you can offer to buy vintage? Like, just like as a person that, you know, wants to or is interested or never have shopped vintage before.
I want to say to, here's a little quick story before I dive into that, if I may, is that I had a fancy French girlfriend, and I call her Frenchie. I nickname her Frenchie. And she's originally from Paris. She had moved to New York, and I love her to bits, and she's quite eccentric and quite unique and, you know, very French. Okay. Let's just say that. So, you know, when I mentioned to her that I love vintage and I wanted to go vintage shopping, I usually do that every weekend when I was in New York, you know, and just like peruse and take a look and discover things. She would turn her nose up at me. She's like, what is vintage? Oh, you buy that? Oh, you wear people's clothes? Oh, she was just like poo-pooing it. And I just looked at her and I said, girlfriend, I said, do me a favor. We will promise you, we will go to Italy afterwards and have a Prosecco and have the charcuterie board and you name it, whatever. But please, let's just do this. I just want to go there and come take a look at it. Guess what? Years later, guess who's buying vintage galore? Okay.
Frenchie.
So, Frenchie, yes. So she loves it and appreciates it. And she's been buying some incredible pieces. And it's part of our routine. It was something that so even brought us closer together. It was going shopping together with girlfriends and discovering things that we loved. And of course, vintage is not for all sizes. You have to find it. If it looks big and it fits you, great, you scored. So that is how I help someone discover vintage. And it's now a passion that we do this together. We make special trips together, you know, to do this and to enjoy a moment of discovery.
Oh, I love that. Because, sorry, not to cut you off.
But okay. No.
My best friend and I, we recently, she's always been a vintage lover. I'm more of like a recent vintage lover.
Okay.
And she lives in Philly, but she visited me like 2 weeks ago. And that's what we did in Brooklyn, because in Brooklyn, there's so many vintage shops.
Oh, my God, yes.
We should do that too, actually.
Oh, yes, for sure. Settled.
But it was so much fun to just like go from shop to shop. And the beauty of it is that I honestly believe the pieces find you.
Oh, like, 1,000%. And for me, I feel like a kid. I feel like a kid in a candy store. Yes, I feel like when I go into a store, it's like, okay, what treasures am I going to find in here? Mm-hmm. And when I find them, it's like looking through like a needle through a haystack and discovering things. And that's how I feel. It's such a high. Mm-hmm. And the thing is with vintage, the way it's made, the how it lasts, you will never find pieces like this ever again.
Exactly.
And they withstand the test of time. So for anyone out there that is new to vintage, that doesn't know about it, listen, you can go to a local, you know, small business owner shop to support them. Go peruse the racks and see what speaks to you. Number one is that you want to make sure the quality is good. You're not going to want to buy damaged goods. You want to make sure that it's in really good shape. You want to make sure that it fits you and that you can put this and bring it in part of your wardrobe. So let's say, for example, a new student that just graduated starting a new job and wants to start building a staple wardrobe of, let's say, needs a great black blazer. You know, you can find some amazing blazers out there. Boyfriend fit, which is the 80s styles, something that's more tailored from the 70s or 60s. You know, you could find a boiled wool. You can find a cashmere one. You could find one that is a, you know, plaid or a print. There's many things to look at, and you could just start slowly but surely building your staples from vintage. And then of course the fashion items, you could sprinkle around it if you want to just say, let's say, shop H&M or Zara, you know, to make it more modernized looking. But to me, vintage is just one piece, and it's the way that you style it that makes it unique and that makes it modern for the time that you're wearing it.
Yes, you hit everything. you like touch upon everything because that's basically, I feel like, the rules of vintage, but there are no rules.
there are no rules. Listen, in LA, they're looking at, let's say, for example, old rock t-shirts and old sweatshirts and hoodies. In New York, they might be looking for more tailored clothing because a girl in New York is, you know, dressing up a different way than the LA girl dresses. A person in Europe are probably wanting to find those sought after pieces to add to their already existing beautiful designer wardrobe that they already have. Vintage is anything that is old. It could be from the 2000s. It could be from 1990s. It could be from the 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s. Whatever era you are gravitating towards, you can always find it. And there are many vintage places that are out there that cater to their different kinds of customers. But to me, think of vintage as being fun and exciting and an exploration that you're taking.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited for you to launch your business.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited for it too. I'm getting antsy and nervous and I'm like, am I doing the
right thing? That's a good thing. Those are good feelings.
Yeah. So for me, it's like doing the Serena thing and launching her e-com is like, I'm now doing this for myself. I'm taking my passion and making it my baby and taking it forward to this level now. So that's another avenue that I'm looking at, as well as my consulting that I'll be doing for, you know, for brands as well.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, of course, you know, the world is, it's not in the best shape, but.
For sure, yeah. And for me, I love helping people. And the funny thing is, and one reason I got into vintage even more in the last number of years is that I had a girlfriend that was working at L'Oreal, and she attended all the major award shows. She attended, you know, the red carpets of the SAG and the Oscars and the Grammys and you name it. And she came to me and we were just like, you know, putzing around one weekend, and she said, oh my God, Naomi, I've got to find a black tie or a gown or whatever for this event. And she said to me, she goes, I can't be buying, you know, these crazy dresses from like high-end designers for every single show. You know what I mean? Because I'll go broke. And I said, hey, I have an idea. And we started looking around and I discovered one of my favorite places I like to buy my vintage from. We saw it on a mannequin. I was like, oh my God, this would be perfect for you for the Grammys or whatever she was going to. We went upstairs. We met the owner. They were lovely. It was such a charming store, a beautiful, amazing selection of merchandise, mouth-watering. And I just threw in the dressing room and we started throwing things at her to try things on. Can I tell you, everything she put on her looked amazing. So guess what? For all the award shows that she went to, I dressed her in vintage.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And the reason why is, number one, it was less expensive. Because she didn't need to buy like a $5,000 dress from Bergdorf, for example. It was less expensive. It fit her like a glove. No one's going to have it. It's like one of a kind. And you cannot necessarily date it.
Exactly. That's the best part. It's just like the uniqueness to the pieces.
So we threw some Jimmy Choo's on her. We gave her some sparkles on the earrings. And well, the thing is, too, some of these award shows, she was able to borrow jewelry from, like, the jewelry designers. So we decked her out in diamonds, and she wore a vintage dress, and off she went to the run, you know, the red carpet.
Yeah. No, I love that. I don't know. Now you're making me, like, want to go vintage shopping now.
Well, I'm here for you any given time. And if anyone needs help and advice, you can reach me. I'm happy to have a chat with them. And it's my pleasure. It makes me excited to make people discover vintage for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it makes me humble and so grateful that if I can bring about a little bit of a difference in someone's life, that means so much to me.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're just such a good person. Oh, I love the energy. Oh, but
all I can think about is what we put out there is what we get back. Right.
So, amen. Yeah. So before we wrap everything up, my last question to you, because we're talking about what we put out there and just like good vibes and everything, I want to bring it back to you. What is the one thing you love most about yourself? Because I think we have to end on a positive note. We have to be like a self-reflection to ourselves. And again, we have to compliment ourselves. We don't do that enough. We need more kindness and all of that in the world right now.
Okay, what do I love about myself?
You have a whole list.
No, I have a whole list. You're so funny and you're so cute right now. I love you. For one thing is that for me, I always try to come from a positive standpoint. I always try to find the positive out of every situation, because it just helps me in the, I guess in a way, relax and put me at ease. But I always try to find the reason behind what is happening. Like if something happened that's upsetting, okay, what's the lesson learned from it? What's the positive thing I could take from this? You know, and not leave it as a negative, but leave it as a positive.
Totally. I think mindset is everything. And I always say I'm the type that looks at the the cup half full.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And listen,
it's not always, you know, no, I struggle. I wake up sometimes in the morning where I'm like, I go to bed at night and I'm like, yes, I did a great thing. Da, 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 da. And then the next morning I wake up and I feel dread and I'm like, oh, this is not good. Let me light a candle. Let me sage. Let me Palo Santo. Let me get meditating going. Let me just do some breathing exercises to calm my nervous system down. And then reset myself. And it's a challenge. It's like, especially with what we're dealing with right now in 2020. Ugh. It's like everyone has, you know, some way, shape or form of having to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And it's, again, not about what happens, how you react to it. How do you view it? How do you observe? Like, what are you taking out of it? You know, it's not just black or white. So.
Right. And to me, I always want to help people. Like for me right now with being home with COVID, I'm taking this moment to treasure it because I know I'll never have this chance again with my parents. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm here for a reason. I know the universe has guided me back here for my safety. And thank God it was the perfect timing of the storm that was happening to all of us. But I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. But I'm using this time to be there for my parents, help my parents. You know, I've organized my mom's closet. I've organized the linen closet. I've helped her, you know, style some things. I've done, you know, help renovate her kitchen and decorate it and design it. You know, I've done all these things while I've been here. So I know I'm just, you know, wanting to make the best out of this time.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us. But with all that being said, that's how I would love to end the podcast. I honestly feel like I can talk to you for hours.
Oh my God, ditto, right back at you.
Yeah, like it was so natural, so easygoing. And I really hope that you guys who are listening got something out of it. I mean, I sure did while I'm being in it. And I'm going to leave all of Naomi's information in the show notes, so be sure to follow her. Again, we don't know when her vintage business is going to launch, but I know it will be soon. So make sure to
knowing that I told you this and I'm committing to it, I am going to get it this month done.
Awesome. So hopefully, make sure you guys go on the show notes for all that information. But with all that being said, thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And listeners, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys are safe and well. I know it's such an uneasy time for all of us, but know that you're not alone. We're all in this together. And I hope to continue to bring more inspirational people on the podcast for you guys to stay motivated, stay positive, and stay safe. And I'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.